Hey, it's so, so great to be here and to be talking to you about the Word of God today. I pray that God in His mercy will give you understanding, will give you knowledge. God will speak to your hearts and will speak to your minds. Through this message, Jesus Christ will be revealed to you, and then God will say something that will help you in your journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the message that we're going to talk about says, "Fear not, I am with you." This is what actually God said to His people. At the time that God was saying this, His people were in difficulties. They were meeting it hard in some places. Some too have messed up their lives out of their own doing. Some too, it's just that their relationship with God was not strong. They have a God and they have His name with them, because the people God was speaking this to were called Israelites, literally the people of God at the time. Yet, they were not in good stead with God. But even out of that, God came and said, "You know what? Fear not, for I am with you." Hallelujah. Amen. "Fear not, for I am with you." At this hour, you have the name of God upon your life. Maybe you, like the Israelites, is meeting it hard. Maybe things are not going the way you expect it to be. Some, it's not because of anything that you've done wrong. It's just that life has been difficult. Maybe illness, maybe sickness, maybe injustice. But for some too, it's your own doing. You know that. You've been unwise in your behavior, in your thinking, and the way you do things. And that has not helped you, wherever you are. But God says, "Fear not, for I'm with you." If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it's my prayer that every child of God will be able to memorize this Bible verse. If you press the button for me for the first one to come on, I will appreciate it. Thank you. "Fear not, for I am with you." Okay, let me read from the Bible and see. If I take it from the end of verse 9, it says, "I have chosen you and have not rejected you." Hallelujah. Amen. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Does that sound something familiar about what Pastor Ben said last week? Exactly. And Pastor Ben wasn't saying this because he knew that. He knew that because God said it in the Bible, that He has chosen us. So God said, "I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's what God says. "I've chosen you. I've not rejected you. In spite of where you are, or if you're feeling sorry for yourself or where you are, for no reason, you feel you are meeting it hard." God said, "You know what? Because I've chosen you, I have not rejected you." Don't start sucking your finger and say, "You know what? God has rejected me. I'm lonely. I don't feel nothing." You know what? God said, "I have not rejected you. But do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Hallelujah. I want to be sure that you are memorizing this, so shall we say it together? So do Okay, shall we start? We start from so, right? One, two, three. Amen. Amen. This comes from Isaiah 41, verse 10. He said, I will uphold you. I will lift you up from where you are, from the position that you feel vulnerable, from the position that you feel not able to do anything, from the position that you feel your back is to the wall, from the position that you don't even know what to do about life, from the position that you are giving up. He said, I will uphold you. I will hold you in my hand. And with my righteous right hand, I will do that. That means I will put you at a place of my divine favor so that you will be strengthened, so that you will stand up on your feet again. That is what God is saying to you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's as if God said, I'm going to hold your hand. It's as if that you have a child in your hand and he said, you know what, I'm going to uphold you. You're not going to fall down. No mother, not even fathers who are sometimes a little bit rough with kids, will just hold a child in their hand and let a child fall. Will they? They wouldn't. So God says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand and I'll put you in a place of safety and a place of divine favor. Hallelujah. Fear sometimes can breed us giants in our lives. And when it breeds that way, what it does is that it threatens our very well-being. Fear prevents you from being who you are. So God says, fear not, for I am with you. Your confidence will have to depend upon the God who is bigger than your problems, who is mightier than what you see, who is awesome than everything that you can ever imagine. He says, fear not. For when you decide not to and live in fear, it becomes a big obstacle and threatens your well-being. They become spiritual giants that invade your life and seek to destroy the work of God in you. Fear can take over your life and our lives and dominate us in a way that God never intended. It is when fear takes over that we know there is a giant that needs to be conquered. So today, if you are living in fear, whatever it is, fear of money, fear of flying, fear of anything that you think about. Some people fear even cockroaches. I'm glad there aren't many cockroaches unless your house is filthy. That's absolutely true. Cockroaches thrive in filth. So if you see some in your home, clean up. Yes? Okay. So some fear ants, some fear flies. And I'm thinking that all of you here are bigger than flies. So when you see little flies, that they start screaming, what's the matter with you? You're a giant. You've got to conquer that fear. Hallelujah. We don't want to live in fear. Fear needs to be conquered. Fear prevents us from exercising faith in our God. When fear dominates our lives and minds, we are not able to put our trust in the Lord. When you are living in fear, honestly, if you have fear about anything, sometimes you cannot even think right. You cannot even behave right. I haven't seen many people running away from flies and saying, in Jesus' name. Hello? They just run. You see, because they are afraid, their brains go dumb. They can't even trust God anymore. But God said, fear not. For I am with you. Now, let us look at one Old Testament story. If you now turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomus. That means second reading of the same word of God. The commandment that God gave to Moses, he gave it to the people of Israel. After he's come down from the mountains. But this time, he had to give it to another group of people who also belong to God. And this story that we're going to read illustrates fear and the consequences of it over a whole generation, a whole people, and a whole nation. This is the story of the 12 spies. Anyone heard about it before? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19 to 40. That is where we're going to look at today. These spies left Kadesh Barnea to spy out the promised land of Canaan before the people of Israel would go in and possess it. The story is told initially in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. That's where the details of this story is. But it's repeated here in the condensed version in Deuteronomy 1, 19 to 40. Now it is repeated because the people that the first commandments, the people that God's law came to, at this point, they've all died, except for two. Now, setting the background, or setting the stage, Israel had been freed from slavery at the time that they were running. God told the people of Israel to go and possess the promised land. Moses encouraged them, but the people had different agenda. And why did they have a different agenda? Because of fear. The people of God had lived in Egypt for over 400 years, precisely 430 years. They had been there. And the latter part of that period, they were in slavery. Because what was happening was that they felt, the people of Israel felt threatened by the presence of the people of God. So they said the only way that we can prevent them from actually overpowering us, overcoming us, dominating us, is for us to put him in bondage. And they did that. And the people of Israel cried unto God, and God heard them. And Exodus chapter 3, you read it, and God said, look, I've heard the cries and the tears of my people. I've heard the pains and the servitude of my people. I've heard all the struggling they are going through, but I have come to set them free. And today, as we had communion, it's pointing to the defining moment in the lives of the people of Israel when they had to leave Egypt. Because none of the things that God did to challenge the gods of Egypt moved the heart of Pharaoh until a blood was sacrificed. You see, nothing will actually make you whole again except for the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing will set you free again except for the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was a defining moment. Bible said that when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Because you are marked as someone who has accepted the forgiveness and the leadership of Jesus Christ over your life and trusted in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as a substitution for your wrongdoings and your sins and your unworthiness for you to be accepted by God as his son or daughter, then you have crossed the line of faith. Just like the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea, they crossed a sea. They had to cross that line so they can get into a different agenda. And when they crossed, they started making a journey. And during this journey, they had to go through a wilderness. That means a desert place. Nothing grows there. There was nothing. But God was gracious to them. In the desert place, there were jackals. Remember that? Hyenas. There will be hyenas. There will be snakes. There will be scorpions. And these people were walking. About 2 to 3 million people were trekking on this land, going to the land that God had promised them. And during that time, in a place that nothing grows, what happened? God provided food for them time and time again. Food that they did not even have a name for. So they call it, what is this? They call it manna. Manna means, what is this that we are eating? We don't even know its name. We don't know what is aki, or rice and peas, or salad. or Sunday roast. They have absolutely no name for it. They said, what is this? But they ate it for 40 years. A journey that was supposed to take them 40 days took them 40 years. And what happened? They murmured. They complained. Whenever they couldn't find food, fear entered their heart. Whenever they see an enemy coming in the distance, fear entered their heart. But God was with them. Hallelujah. God said, fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be dismayed by what you see right now. If only you put your trust in the Lord. And that is what God was trying to point the minds and the hearts and the emotions of the people of God to, that they will trust him and not fear. Surprise, surprise, each time they fear, God steps in. And in fact, if you read our chapter, which is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19 through to 40, you come to understand that God said, you know what? I carried you like a father carries his children. It's as if, I forgot to get a picture of you. Sometimes fathers are great, and they actually carry their kids around their neck. Anyone seen one before? If you're a father, have you seen one before? Have you done it before? If you haven't done it, do it to your kids. They love it. As long as you don't drop them. Right. And what happened? He said, I have carried you like a father carried his children around its neck. And he goes on to say, I have carried you like on the wings of an eagle. I saw over your problems. I carried you so smoothly, and I glide in the skies, and everything becomes so low. During these 40 years, I, the Lord, this is how I carried you. I fought your battles for you. I made sure that no one defeated you. Anyone who came against you, I fought that person, and you won. And these people were not fighters, you know. They were not trained to fight. Yet they won battles. How did they do it? God won it for them. That is exactly what happens. So you think with all this, they will not fear no more. So when they reach Kadesh Barnea, which is the pinnacle or the outskirt of the land that God had to give to them. Remember, around this time, they had been away for over 400 years. So this is the first time they are coming back to the land that God has given to them. So they do not know what to expect. So when Moses said, now you know what? Now I want to charge you to go and possess the land. Let's go back to the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. Then as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went towards the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. You see, this surprised me that all this while that they came from Egypt, it was God who parted the Red Sea for them. They didn't know which route they were going to pass. They had absolutely no idea. God led them. He said, I led you in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So they had no reason to disbelieve. Before our fathers right now or this generation ever thought of inventing satellite navigation, God had provided it. His sat nav was providing it by cloud by day and cloud by night. Are you getting it, my brothers and sisters? He gave them satellite navigation. So, turn right, turn red, turn left, recalculating, or turn round if you can. They followed that. Are you with me? And I dare to challenge you. I've preached this message for over 30 years in my life, when I argue with smart guys who were well-educated in this country, that tablets of stone, God wrote on it and gave it to the people. And all his commandment, 613 of them, could fit on that tablet of stone. They laugh at me. 30 years' time, you have tablets. Surprise, surprise. God outthinks us. My brothers and sisters, God has answers to a whole lot of things that you don't even know of. But God says, do not fear. Coming back to the people of Israel. At the pinnacle, they sat down, and when Moses said, now you are here, God said, go and possess the land. They were thinking, we haven't been here before. 400 years? We don't know what we're going to see. We've heard about the Amorite, the Hittite, the Jebusite, and all those people. But they forgot that when you go back to Exodus chapter 3, God had already told them that I'll give you the land of the Jebusite, the Hittite, the Amorite, and all the Titite people, and the Canaanites. I'm going to give it to you. A land flowing with milk and honey. Literally, there was not milk flowing like a sea, but a land that they had grass that you can graze your goat so that it can produce the milk that you need. A land has date fruits that taste like honey, that when you eat it, you will enjoy it. And that is exactly what they saw. Are you with me? God did not lie to them. And that was exactly what was happening at the time when God spoke to them. And you would have thought that they would rush into it. But when they got there, they said, you know what? Yeah, we had it. Yeah, we had it. But we are a new generation. So, you know what? We've crossed the Red Sea. We saw the miracles, but let's discount it. We know God gave us that job, but let's discount it. We know God gave us that baby, but let's discount it. We know God gave us that money, let's discount it. We know God healed us, let's discount it. Now, Moses, you know what? Tell God that we want to go and spy the land. How do we do it? And if you open your Bible with me to Exodus, what do we call it? Where am I trying to go? Numbers chapter 13. Verse 1 and 2. So when they came to Moses, Moses had to go to God. Then the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you and to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. At the time, they had 12 tribes. And each tribe, from each tribe, they sent one leader. So Moses sent 12 people to go and spy the land. And they spent 40 days going north, south, east, and west. Present-day Jordan, present-day Lebanon and Syria, present-day Gaza Strip, present-day Yemen, and part of Saudi Arabia. They scattered the land so they knew exactly who lives there. And they saw exactly that was on the land. Moses told them to go, but the people had a different agenda. They chose. They said, we want to spy the land. And you thought that they would think differently. Fear can breed as giants, threaten us from all corners. And that is what we have to guard against. Now, it is when fear takes over that we know there is a giant that needs to be conquered, because one, fear disregards God's plan. Fear disregards God's plan. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, that we read to you, that when it was God's plan that the Israelites would go up and possess the land of Canaan, what stood in their way and prevented them from fulfilling God's plan was fear and discouragement. That's why Isaiah chapter 10 said, do not be dismayed. Discouragement is being dismayed. It confuses you and it puts you down. Do not be dismayed. Fear and discouragement actually hit them. And that is exactly what controlled people after hearing a negative report from the 10 spies out of the 12 that God sent. Fear took hold of their lives. They couldn't believe that God had actually brought them to the place of their inheritance and their blessings. Fear will keep you from experiencing God and His plan for your life. Our inheritance is just as much as the plan that God gave to the people of Israel. But unless we actually take God's word for us it is and act upon it and let fear step aside and we depend upon the word that God is telling us, then we are going to miss our inheritance. These days, a lot of pastors will give you motivational speeches. They say that, look, you are going to possess all your possessions. And you know that there's so much fear in your heart. And you ain't going to possess nothing. Sometimes they said you are the head and not the tail. I like using this because each time I talk about it, I know that there's a condition to it. So, I'm not here to discount what works for some people in their churches, but I'm here to preach the word of God to you. I could do that and that will make you feel good, but as soon as you get home, everything goes away. The birds of the air take it out of your heart. And nothing happens. So let's go back to the word of God and see. See, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1, 7, said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not created us to live in or be dominated by fear. He has given us the principles of faith upon which we live. If we choose to live in fear, we are disregarding God's plan for our life. Hallelujah. You see, these are the verses that we teach our young ones in this place when we have a holiday, some holiday club. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit to fear, but of love, sound mind. Fear distorts God's promises. When fear dominates our lives, everything gets out of perspective. We begin to see things differently. Everything gets distorted. 10 of the 12 spies who returned from Kadesh Barnea brought back a totally distorted picture of what the promised land was really like. The skewed report is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. Shall we read it together if you've still got it open? But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the Lord's command. The Lord your God, you grumbled in your tent and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say, the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakims there. They saw the giants there. You mean walls bigger than Donald Trump's wall? Wall up to the sky. There's no wall that reaches the sky, is it? Already they've made up their mind that they can't, that the people are stronger than they are. They cannot defeat them. They brought a distorted picture of what the land actually looks like. Please help me to look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to 33, so you can see the details. And let's argue it right now. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to 33. I'm reading from New International Version. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Did you hear that? They said we saw the land was flowing with milk and honey. They saw that there was pasture land for their goats. Because the people of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were called Hebrews. They were not Israelites. They were called Hebrews. Do you know why they were Hebrews? Because they were nomadic shepherds. That's the meaning of a Hebrew. They were skilled in looking after goats. So they were more interested in what their goats will eat and the milk that it will produce, because they depend upon it. So what happened? They saw the land has pasture land for their goats, and we saw the fruits there. We knew there was date palm that tasted as sweet as honey. And here is an example of the fruit. And in fact, they only cut a bunch of grapes, and the Bible tells us that they had to have more than one person to carry it. They had to carry it on the pole. A bunch of grapes? Whoa. Kim, you and me, we eat for 10 days. Right. So let me read on. But the people who lived there were powerful. That's what they said. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. That means the descendant of Goliath and the giants. The Amalekites live in the Negev. Those are people who attack the people of Israel when they are weak, when they are not part of the community of people. Let me just press on this button just for a minute. The Amalekites, you see, they never live in cities. They live in hill country. They live in hills and caves. And when the people of Israel were coming, you know what they were doing? Anyone who was not in the fellowship of the believers or the people of God, they would come and attack and kill. If you stray from the bunch of people that were going, they will come and attack. If you are sick and weak, they come and attack. If you are lagging behind, they come and attack. That's why I keep telling you, please come to church on a Sunday. Because while you are home, the enemy attack you. The Amalekite spirit will attack you. Are you with me? You become weak when you are not in the community of people time and time again. When you stray, disobey, then you are alone. You are attacked by the spirit of the Amalekites. So I'm saying this in a plea to you that God is interested in you. He loves you. He wants you to be part of the communion. That's why time and time again we have to remind ourselves that we want to be part of the fellowship of God by taking the Lord's Supper to strengthen us. We are strong together. Do you understand that? Are we learning from the hands of God? Sure. Shall we press on to read on? You see, the Hittite lived there, the Jebusite lived there, the Amorite lived there in the hill country, and the Canaanites lived near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "Shut up, all of you, order!" I'm only dramatizing, right? "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "No, we can't. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." How did they know that? And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it." Really? The land devours the people living in it. And they still saw people there, right? You see, fear distorts God's purpose. And distorts, literally, our view about what God wants to do for us. So, let's press on to finish this reading. Where am I? "All the people we saw there are of great size." So suddenly the land was populated by giants. Everybody was taller, right? As if you're standing here, you are taller than me. Suddenly, is that possible? Hey, tell me, unless you believe in evolution. Even then, I haven't seen that yet. "We saw the Nephilims there. The descendant of Anak came from the Nephilims. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." How did they know that? If you seem like grasshopper in your own eyes, how do you know whether they are thinking about you as a giant? They even distorted it and said, "We look like grasshoppers, and they saw us as the same." Did they speak to them? They were spies. They didn't interact with the people. They were covert operation. MI6, whatever they do. They were sneaky. They were hiding. So how did they know? Who did they speak to that they got to know that they saw them as grasshoppers? You see, fear distorts God's purpose. When you live in fear, you exaggerate your situation. You begin to see your situation. Every situation becomes a giant one to you. Every little wall becomes a fortified wall right into the skies. Every little baby that you see around becomes a giant to you, becomes your Goliath. We cannot. 12 of them said they could not do that. Everything will be totally out of perspective. You would think God has brought you into a terrible situation just to do you harm. And that is what they were saying. You see, you might think it's irrational what these people were saying. But time and time again, if you live in fear, you believe that way. Because when fear begins to control your life, you don't think correctly. Rationality goes out of the window. If you choose to fear, you allow fear to control your thinking, you will have a distorted view of the situation in which you live and distorted view about the God in whom you serve. That is exactly what happens. Fear will discourage the people of God. Do not fear, for I am with you. Not only does fear disregard God's plan and distort God's purposes, but it also discourages God's people. The kind of fear that controls is highly contagious. It's a communicable sin. Think of a situation of the Israelites that we've painted to you, or we've read to you. A whole community assembled in Kadesh Barnea. 10 out of the 12 came back from Canaan, controlled by fear, and those 10 determined the destiny of the rest, an entire nation of Israel. God was angry because they put fear in the heart of the people, and the people said, we will not go up. No chance. If the land is like that, I don't care how big the fruits are. I don't care how much honey is on the land. I don't care how much milk is flowing on the land. I am not going. But did not God tell them to go up? Put that in your situation. Whatever you're facing today, is not God telling you to go up and possess the land? Has not God has a plan for your life? The Bible tells in Deuteronomy chapter, what do we call it? Deuteronomy 29. Is that right? Which says that, look, I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29, my apologies. Deuteronomy is first, it's way, way, way back. Jeremiah is after they've returned. Thank you, madam. I've taught you well. So, Jeremiah 29, 11. He said, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future, the expected future that you hope for. I have those plans for you. In the beginning of that chapter, it says something like, even though my anger has been kindled against you because of the things that you've done, because you haven't regarded me as God, and you turn your back on me, and I'm not the first place in your life, I've been relegated to the back, your work is more important to you, your children is more important to you, your socials is more important to you, your internet is more important to you, everything else is more important to you, but God, even so, fear not, I have not rejected you. I am with you. I am your God. Do not be dismayed. I will help you. Uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what God is saying today. So whatever situation you are, whatever you see yourself as, whatever that you are encountering today, don't let fear discourage you. For what these people did, their words of fear so infected the rest of the people that the entire nation became fearful of going into the land God had promised for them. The fearful words of 10 men turned the fortunes of entire nation. The action of 10 men who brought bad report because of fear is likened to something, someone shouting in the middle of a packed room and saying, fire! And everybody started running, not even knowing where the fire is coming from. What a dangerous thing to do. And that is exactly what happened among these people. So at that point, they said, we're not going anywhere. We are totally defeated even before we start. God, we don't mind whatever your word says. We are not going. I don't care, Moses, you can motivate us as much as you like. My reality is that I'm afraid and I ain't going nowhere. That's exactly what they are saying. My reality is that I'm dismayed. I'm dismayed about the report that I'm hearing. I'm dismayed about the things that is coming all over me. the sickness, the redundancies and poverties and struggle with finances and all the things that is coming, my kids not being in the right place, my things that I'm praying for not coming through, I'm dismayed, I'm discouraged. So I'm not going nowhere. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful what we tell people or will cause people to hear. It can either empower them to take hold and possess their land that God has given to them and get into their destiny, or to literally consign them to 40 years of wandering in the desert. So as a result of this, you know what? God was upset with them that they did not gather courage. They could not trust God. They could not have faith in Him to do the things that God wanted them to do. So God said, for every one day that you spy the land, you're going to wander for 1 year. So they spent 40 days roaming the land, and they ended up spending 40 years roaming in a small place. If you take like Kent County, they just go through. Go to, if you take it within the M25. I mean, how difficult would it be? In a desert place, M25, you just walk to Lewisham. You ended up in Streatham. You ended up in, Haringey somewhere. You ended up in wherever. They did everything, and they came back straight back to Greenwich, where they started Kadesh Barnea for 40 years. At that time, a whole lot of them died. Anyone who was 20 years and above within that 40 years died. Hear me, died. So when Moses came to read Deuteronomy chapter 1, literally the second reading of the same law, I've said it earlier, he said, you are young people, I need to compress it for you, because young people don't want to listen to too much stories. If their parents are talking to them, they say, oh, dad, mom, you talk too much. But they have a long time, they can listen to music for a long, long time, that is not too much. They can hang on in the internet for a long, long time, that's not too much. So God said, as a result of that, you know what, this time I'm not going to preach to you no more, I'm going to put these things in a song for you. So Deuteronomy, that means God's word, which was put in three sermons in a song for them. So Deuteronomy is a song. And young people love songs. They put in their ears, they can't even hear that, their mom lock at their door. So that is exactly what Moses did. Moses said, I'm going to put in a song. So when I put in the song, I'm going to compress it. Just a few words. Songs are not long. Few words. They sing it over and over, and it just takes you over. And that's exactly what he did. That's why Deuteronomy is a compressed form of a long, long story out there. Do you get it? Okay. So from here on, you can go and teach the Bible somewhere else. So this is what I'm trying to encourage you guys to grasp, that God loves you. God cares about you. Do not let fear discourage you and discourage God's people. So from here on, all the people over the age of 40 died. So their destiny was decimated. They did not go anywhere. Even Moses himself did not even enter the promised land. Miriam did not. Aaron died first. Miriam followed. And Moses died before he got to the promised land. Moses even said, because of your disobedience, because you vexed me, because you stressed me out, I even made mistakes. And God told me that I will see the land, but I will not step on it. Why? Fear. It was fear that made people behave irrationally, and that made them do things. Sometimes people, when people are vexing you, it's nothing, you know, because they're afraid of something. So be wise. I'm gradually learning, and I have a long way to go. So let's pick the last but one point. Fear disbelieves God's promises. Fear disbelieves God's promises. You would have thought the people would have looked back and counted how many times God defeated their enemies. They would have counted how many times God fed them. They didn't. They really didn't. They forgot about that. When they stood at the threshold of the promised land and faced a whole new challenge, or set of challenges, instead of trusting God, after Moses outlined what God has done for them, what did they do? They did not keep his promise. They did not stand with God. They did not remember that God said, I will send you to that land flowing with milk and honey. But instead, fear caused Israel to disbelieve the promises of God and not trust in the Lord their God. And when you look at verse 31, it said, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. How will you know? They couldn't trust God. Each new test that comes your way must be approached with a new faith in God. We cannot live on yesterday's faith. Yielding to fear will lead to disbelieving the promises of God. We pray the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Why is God saying, Jesus Christ teaching his disciples to pray to give us this day our daily bread? That means each day is a new opportunity, it's a new challenge, and you need a new provision to be able to go through it. Right? You need that. You really, really need that. And and literally, that's exactly what God did for these people that are in the wilderness. Go and take manna every day. And if you didn't finish eating it, destroy it because you need a new fresh one. So for you each day, we encourage that you have to connect with God. Wake up in the morning. Today is Sunday. Tomorrow is a different day, Monday. So Monday need new prayers. It need new anointing. It need new presence of God with you. And therefore, you can't depend upon having been to church on a Sunday today. And then tomorrow, you just get up, put on your shirt or your dress, take up your bag, take up your travel card, or put your key in ignition in your car, and you just drive away without reconnecting with God for a new protection over your life. Are you with me? And for this church, we are doing everything possible. For a church of our size, we are doing everything possible to make you quality Christians. Even when you leave this place and you don't like me, the things that I have taught you, you always remember. Hallelujah. I have a few enemies like that. So I just want you to understand, guys, that we give you morning devotions. We write these things. We put them into writing for you every day in your inbox. If you give us your email address, it will come to you, and you can actually go and spend quality time, delve deeper into the Bible, and read a little bit for yourself. That's exactly what we do. We help you to trust God. What do I say? Fear disobeys God's principles. God has principles. When we don't believe, we usually don't obey. Verse 26 of Numbers, chapter 1, says that they came back to Moses, Aaron. Is that right? No, I'm reading from a different verse. Isn't that right? Sorry. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 26. If you got it with me. He said that, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And that is exactly what we do. You disobey God's principles. And when we rebel against his commands, for example, the provision of the manna, they rebelled against God. You know what some people did? After the manna was in front of them, instead of eating it and discarding it, some people said, let's hoard it. And each time they hoard it, it turned into worms. Really? They did not trust God. Some of them, they told them that, look, on the sixth day, collect as much as you can for the seventh day. Some people were not. And on the seventh day, they go and wanting to look for manna, and there was no manna for them. They couldn't trust God. Fear is disobeying God. Many times in the Bible, we are told, fear not, or do not be afraid, or do not be dismayed. Now, if we are told by God not to fear, and we choose to live in fear, what are we doing? We are disobeying God, yes or no? Because the people did not obey God, they did not go up in the land and receive from God what he had promised to give them. When fear grips our lives, it ultimately destroys everything God wants us to do and through us. Fear can steal the very things God wants you to do. So what do? I just want to bring these things on there just for you to see. How do we keep fear from taking control over us? I'm not going to go into details about it. It will come through your emails. So if you don't have the details, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will get it. Yeah? Fear will not leave you alone and just go away. You have to confront it, get rid of it. You must discover what is it that is giving you fear and what you have invited into your residence, into your home, that is causing you that fear, or into your life that is actually causing you fear. You can't get rid of something that you can't identify. So sit down, reflect, as we say. Bible people say meditate. Think deeply about it. What is it that is bringing you fear? Each time you exhibit fear, there is a reason. Confess fear as sin. Fear is not trusting God. It's sinful to live in fear. You are saying, God, I don't trust you. Your word doesn't mean much to me. Fear is sinful. But the psalmist wrote, I saw the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God can deliver you from your fears. Claim God's promises of protection over you. Remember, he said, I have chosen you. I have not rejected you. So I will not fear, for the Lord is with me. I will not be dismayed, for Yahweh is my God. He will strengthen me. He will help me. He said he will uphold me with his right hand of favor. And that is exactly what you have to, confess. Cultivate a closer relationship with God. You know what? I love this bit above everything. The reason why Caleb and Joshua were able to say positive things is that the Bible said they loved the Lord, worshiped the Lord, and followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Do you hear that? You see, that is exactly what it says. And in case you haven't looked at it, look at verse 36 of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and read it for yourself. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he will see that land, and I will give him his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Did you hear that? You see, so when you are being preached that you are going to possess the land, whatever the sole of your feet treads, and whatever you take, you claim is yours, remember, you are not going to get nothing unless you follow the Lord wholeheartedly. You see, I pray to God that some of my colleagues will actually be truthful to you, because these lovely words are great in the Bible, and we have to take them and run with it, but let us do it properly. Are you with me? They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So if you follow the Lord wholeheartedly, you have no fear. And today, I want to end this message by saying this. You might be here, and you're probably thinking, what's he talking about? He's only talking about people of Israel and the people of God. I'm not one of them. I haven't crossed the line of faith yet. I just want you to know that perfect love casts out fear. And today God wants you to not go home, not having actually, had a chance to connect with him. God wants you to really do something about this situation. God really is actually pushing your buttons right now. And say, you know what? You might be thinking you are the worst sinner that ever come across the skies or ever walked the face of the earth. You know what God is saying? Even though you have not trusted me, even though you have not followed me wholeheartedly, today I want to open the opportunity for you. If today you ask for the forgiveness and the leadership of God into your life and trust Jesus, then he said that he is faithful and just to forgive you all your trespasses, all your wrongdoings, all your past is going to put behind him. And he's going to start a new walk with you. He says, I have not rejected you. I have not pushed you back. I want you to come closer to me. So today, I want you guys, all of you, to bow down your head. And I want to challenge you a little bit so that we can pray. Make some noise behind me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, what have you heard? This morning, what will you do with your life? This morning, what is your reality? What is your current reality? Something is making you afraid. You're thinking of what you eat tomorrow. You're thinking of where to go tomorrow. You're thinking about your future, of your children, your financial future, You're thinking about eternity. Some of you are totally afraid of a loved one dying or you yourself dying. You have no hope. But if you know Jesus Christ as your forgiver and leader, God gives you that chance to be confidently assured in you. The Holy Spirit will actually cause you to be assured and know exactly where you are going and give you direction. They're going to sing a song. Just keep your head bowed. I want you to listen to in a reflective mood.